Father, we yield our hearts to you this morning that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say to the church. We give you honor and we give you glory. We give you praise and we thank you today that you're speaking your word to our hearts to transform us into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Open to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Amen. How many know what today is on the calendar? Feast of Pentecost. It was 45 years ago on the Feast of Pentecost. Actually, it was, I believe, June the 10th, 1973, because it varies a lot from year to year, that the Holy Spirit brought an incredible visitation in Lubbock, Texas that transformed my life and our lives. And made an impression upon me that will never be taken away. You know, one of the beautiful things about the Holy Spirit is that when he moves in your life, it impresses you with an internal impression. Nothing ever can be taken from that experience. You know, Corinthians says that we press in from glory to glory and from image to image. Well, there's something about each time that you encounter the Lord, there's a spirit of transformation that takes place in your life. It leaves an impression within you. It actually then serves to form who you become. It's like the repetitive washing of the water that overflows the banks builds up a deposit everywhere it flows. Kendall, my granddaughter, was just in New Orleans, and of course that whole delta, that whole place there was built off of centuries of deposits that were made from the Mississippi River. And that's how the Spirit of the Lord comes. When he flows, he begins to deposit within us a foundation of his presence and of who he is. It's like once there's enough of the Lord in you, there's something in you that can never leave that nor turn away from it. We need to be so exposed to the Lord on a repetitive basis that it actually ruins us. Everybody say, ruin me, Lord. Amen. I've been so ruined by the Lord that as much as my flesh would like to sometimes rebel and run the other direction, I find it impossible because I'm so imprinted, or it's so embedded in me of his nature that I can never run that far away from it. I'm always being reminded of who I am. Say, remind me, Lord. See, the Lord said there is a river in every temple, that under the threshold, the river begins to flow. When they came to Jesus, he said, drink of me, because if you'll drink of this water, this life, then out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's a river that flows from deep within. It's a fountain, and it frees the soul from sin. So come to the water. There is a vast supply. There's a river that never shall run dry. We're plugging in this morning to the artesian well of God's presence. I've been crying out this morning, Lord, let me experience today that divine touch of your presence. If anything Pentecost reminds us of is how powerful the Lord reveals himself to his people. The book of Malachi, of course, is the prophet that spoke before there was what we call the dark season, the 400 years from Malachi until Matthew, or to John the Baptist, not to Matthew, but to John the Baptist. there was this time of darkness, so to speak, upon the earth, where they weren't hearing the Lord speak. And it reminds me somewhat of some of the things that we've gone through, that the scripture says that there'll be a famine in the land for the hearing of the word of the Lord. That we as a people in this hour, we're crying out, Lord, speak from heaven your word. We want to hear the voice of the Lord in this hour revealed to us. Malachi begins to lay it, chart out before us the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an incredible unfolding event, because we have to understand that when Christ came, he literally turned everything the opposite direction the way it was going. Because here was a man that came in the flesh, but yet he introduced a spirit. It's kind of like you and I, we're in the flesh, but really that's not what's motivating us. That's not what's leading us. That's not what inspires us. We're motivated, inspired by the Spirit of God. Because we are no longer just a fleshly person because of Christ, but now we are a spiritual being. Unless a man be born again of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Everybody say, we are the kingdom that are in the Spirit. And I wrestle with this in my own self, and I'm sure that you may as well, to differentiate between this natural man with its natural desires, its natural impulses, its natural feelings, to let the spiritual man reign in my life. And Malachi laid it out to us in the sense that something's going to happen that's going to bring this separation. This is the thing that we each cry out for on a daily basis. Lord, let there be this separation in us so that we can begin to differentiate between that which is of you and that which is of us. We know that everything that originates out of our own natural self has no happy ending. It has a conclusion. It has the ending is death, that which we create out of our own flesh. It has no life-giving spirit, nor does it have any potential for future. But everything that originates out of the Spirit of God within us, of course, wow, there's no limitation on what that can become in us. We're not limited by a spirit. It's an unlimited spiritual expression. And let's look at Malachi chapter 3. By the way, I'm up here this morning by faith, okay? Amen. Are you here by faith? Yes. Amen. I'm really by here by faith. That's been a weird 24 hours. I actually woke up Saturday morning and I haven't woke up yet. So I'm sleeping right now, by the way, in case you haven't noticed. Joking. Okay. The Lord said in verse 1, chapter 3, behold, I will send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, everybody say, the Lord whom we seek. It says in the New Testament, when you seek, you will find. When you knock, it will be opened unto you. When you cry out, you'll be heard. When you turn, he will turn to you. When you draw near, he will draw near to you. Isn't it great that there's a reciprocal thing that happens every time there's an action on your part? It's incredible how faith works. Faith always produces results. So the moment I make an effort or an activity of myself, my being, into a certain realm, there's going to be something that meets me at that point. Amen? So he says, if you seek this, suddenly there will come to the temple. Now, what temple is he talking about? Everybody raise your right hand. Say, I am the temple of the Lord. I know that we want to assign that to some other place and some other time, some other position, but you are the temple of the Lord. God has chosen you as a habitation. Wow. Does that make you feel a little special? That God has chosen you as a place of habitation. He wants to abide in you. His Christ wants to live in you. He wants to reside in you. He wants to be identified in you. He wants people to find him in you. He wants to reveal himself through you. And when you seek him, he will suddenly come to the temple. Now, one of the things that I learned early on was this principle of seeking. If you've been around long enough, you've heard all of my stories, but most of you haven't been around long enough to have heard of all, so I'm going to tell some more, right? But some of you remember the story when I was in Amarillo, Texas, and my friend and I, Richard, were at the house that Sue's parents later on lived. They weren't there then. Richard was there. Richard and Joyce, their children. So I went to their house, and we wanted to seek the Lord. And, you know, we were Baptist. You know, Baptists seek the Lord differently than Pentecostals, because you have to seek the Lord incognito, behind closed doors, where no one will see you in case you happen to encounter or find the thing you're seeking. One of the things we didn't realize at the time, that seeking the Lord is like catching a tiger by its tail. We didn't know that we were going to get what we got. And I've always found that with the Lord, he always surprises me with more than what I sought. I might seek a little, but he gives me a lot. I might want just a small portion, but he says, hey, take the double portion. It's yours. Amen. Lord, I just want you. And boy, when I found him, I found that I found more than I was bargaining for. And that was the case that night. We were back in the closet. And, you know, you should always come out of the closet. Right? So we were praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, this is a Baptist praise. Oh, God, we love you so much. Hallelujah, Jesus. I mean, you know, you muster up a little bit of, and we're just doing this, you know. Pretty soon our hands get higher and our voices get louder. We love you, Lord. We bless your name. Oh, God, we love you so much. Yes, yes, it's working. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We just hunger and thirst for you, Lord. So all of a sudden, there was a download. You know, there's something about seeking God that creates a download from heaven. And the moment that happened, I went running out of the closet like a wild man. Joyce, I don't think you were there that night, were you? You were calling to find out where I was. Remember this, Sue. If you never know where I am, it's because I'm seeking the Lord somewhere. Gotcha, right? You put that Find Me app on the phone. You can find me at the house of the Lord, seeking God. So I come out of the closet, running through the house, screaming, I've been consumed. And I didn't know what being consumed even meant, that I was hollering it. I've been consumed, because all of a sudden there was this presence that, like I stepped into this warm bath. Woo! I was consumed. Come on. Yeah. He will suddenly come to the temple. This messenger, this covenant, this one that you delight in, there's nothing greater than the delight of finding the Lord. Amen? How about you? Do you remember when you found Jesus? How delightful that was. I mean, you felt like a cow that had been let out of a cage, a calf that had been let out of a cage. You wanted to romp all over the place. I mean, you'd been set free from sin and death. You'd been set free from condemnation and fear. When Jesus came into your heart, nothing like it, is there? The freedom that's expressed, the delight the Lord gives, behold, he's coming to you, the Lord of hosts. Wow. Couldn't it stop? Could we just say, cut, into the movie? That's all we need, is this wonderful, consuming, anointed, delightful, thrilling, joyful experience. Stop the reel. This is the end of the movie. Wrap, finish. Are we showing scripture on the thing? Will suddenly come to his temple. Behold, he's coming, said the Lord of hosts. Next scripture. But who can endure the day of his coming? Wow. You mean now he just raised me up, now he's going to knock me over, right? Who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. My. Woo. He will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. They may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. So the first mission of the Lord is to not only delight us, but to cleanse us. His first mission is to clear the way with fire. We always I was warned in the past, preacher, please don't preach on fire. Because the next week, half the people don't show up. So this is not a message on fire. I'm just going to mention fire, but it's not a message on fire. So you have to come next week. I didn't realize at the time that this being consumed in the closet was simply launching me into the fire. And I didn't understand the fire when it started coming, because it confused me. Because I thought, well, if God loves me so much and cares about me so much to save me and to fill me and delight me and to thrill me, why am I going through this process of fire? Why am I being refined, purified? Why is the Lord taking the things of my life and burning them up right in front of my eyes? And it took a long time, and I'm still pursuing the understanding of why. But I do know that it's necessary in order to prepare something greater for a place of his abiding in my life. Because the more fire, the more cleansing, the more revealing. Everybody say this: fire always reveals what's hidden, what's not seen. So the scripture talks about this chaff, or this thing that surrounds us, this human nature of the soul that literally masks and tries to obscure the spirit that's within us. But it's through the fire that God reveals his heart. It's the unveiling that comes. And I'm going to go on this, and I'm going to click over to Matthew in just a second. But look in Malachi 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will stumble. And the day is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out, and you will grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. So what the Lord's saying is that I'm going to take a people and I'm going to so refine them that I'm going to remove all the pride out of their life. I'm going to excavate out of their life every root and everything that's been sown into them that is a seed of destruction is going to be purged out of their life. They're going to become so pure that every response that they have will be a perfect response. How many would like to be free this morning from the imperfect responses of your human emotions? You can be. That every response, every criticalness, judgment, lust, pride, greed of the flesh, all those things will be actually removed from you so that they no longer have a root in you. Purified by fire. So that everywhere you go, you bring fire to the enemy. Amen? You know who the devil fears? He fears you. The wicked one fears who you are and how you've given your life to the Lord. Who can stand in that day when he comes? But the Lord has created a triumphant song in your spirit. He's created in you this awesome anointing that comes by knowing him. Wow. Woo. The Son of Righteousness will appear. Man. You know, I'm wanting you, oh God, the Son of Righteousness, to come this morning into the house. If there be any last vestige or remnant of disobedience in my heart, Lord, purify it today. Cleanse me, Lord, from all unrighteousness and all things of my own nature that seek my own will and my own way. Lord, let that be taken out of me today so that you may be revealed in me. That there be nothing of wickedness in my heart and in my spirit, but my motivation would be pure so that I may properly represent your nature to the world. Matthew chapter 3. Wow, here comes John. Everybody say, here comes John. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And I've been to the wilderness of Judea. That is a wilderness place. Why would anyone go to the wilderness of Judea? It's beyond me because there's nothing there except John preaching. There's a purpose in going to the wilderness, though, because you got to take those things that you got to get rid of and you got to take them out to the place that they'll never find you again. I mean, you get far enough out in the wilderness, you're going to get lost. Well, you don't want to lose yourself, but you want to lose those things that are in you that are holding you back. See, there's got to be something in us that declares war upon the things that are hindering our relationship to the Lord. We've got to declare war upon the spirit of passivity that tries to rule. We've got to declare war upon the mind, the war of the flesh of the mind that tries to distract us from the purity that God wants us to walk in. We've got to declare war upon the spirit of this age and all the trappings that it holds and say, this will not be our portion, but your kingdom will be our portion, Lord. Amen. So he says this, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, if you want the kingdom of God, prepare yourself now. What does repent mean? It means to turn your position, to take another position than the position that you previously had. Because you cannot expect to receive something that God gives from an earthly position. You've got to come into God's You got to come into God's conformity in order to receive what God has to give. And so you've got to repent. You've got to turn from who you are and say, Lord, I want who you are. How many want to seek him? How many really want God? Answer the question. How many really want God? Do we really want God in our life? Do we really want the anointing of the Holy Spirit that consumes us, that empowers us, that liberates us, that transforms us? Or do we want some deadhead religion that's programmed into our mind by a bunch of theologians that don't make any sense at all? We want the true life of Christ in us. Woo. We want John the Baptist to come preach at us a little while. He was a voice in verse 3, crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Makes you hungry, doesn't it? And Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him. This guy was drawing the crowds. I mean, he was bringing in the sheep, man. They were coming to hear what he said. He's saying, there's someone coming. I want to tell you about him, and I'm going to prepare the way for him to come suddenly to the temple. So they were baptized. They repented of their sins. And when the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to the baptism, said to them, you brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath of come? Therefore, bless fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these very stones around me. Wow. And even now, listen to this. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Wow. Everybody say, we want the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit. And fire. We need to let the fire burn in the churches until it burns. We'd set the fire alarm off. We don't need to pull out the fire extinguishers when the fire starts going off. Some people say, preacher, you preached too hard this Sunday. You stepped on my toes. You violated me. Oof. Fire will violate you every time. It'll come and burn, separate, the winnowing fork. Not only does he burn you, he just shakes the fool out of you. He said, his winnowing fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. I told you I wasn't going to, this isn't a message about fire. Okay, get that. Okay, not a message about fire. And Jesus came from Galilee, John the Jordan, to be baptized. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized to you, but yet you're coming to me. Jesus said, permit it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. In February, when we were in Israel, the first day there after we had stayed the first night in Jerusalem, we were transported to the Jordan River. And it was fortunate because the place that we went was, until just a couple of years ago, right, was closed down. There was no access to that point, because there was no treaty involved with the Palestinians. Because you understand, the Jordan River there is in the West Bank. It's in the area that's not under Jewish control, but under the Palestinian control, which is, this is the peaceable Palestinians. It's not the ones like on the Gaza Strip that you've been seeing on the news. This is the peaceable people. So we were got to go to the place that they strongly concluded that this is the place. There's another place up the river, but this is the place where more than likely where the children of Israel came across the Jordan River to enter the promised land, and also where Jesus was baptized by John. And so we were all tired, and we'd flown all the day before and had a short night, and we got to this place, and frankly, my flesh was not even that involved. I just looked down, and there was this little river down there, and I think, big deal. And so I was thinking it was a big deal until I walked down there. And as we walked down to the river, I wasn't anticipating the presence. I wasn't anticipating the glory. But all of a sudden, wow, the glory came. And remember the story when I was caught up to be with the Lord in 1989? It was a similar anointing that came. And all of a sudden, I was transported in my spirit in the presence of God at the River Jordan. So I relate to this scripture even more than I have related before, because I realized this was the place, right in this area. Maybe it wasn't the exact place, but it's very close. This was the place that John was preaching in the wilderness and saying, there's one coming that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And at that moment, as I stood by that river, I felt the fire of God in my spirit. I felt the cleansing coming from heaven. And it's not something that we dread, nor we reject, nor we feel reluctant to embrace, but we so freely embrace it because there's nothing like coming to know the Lord in the depth of your spirit, of that purging spirit of fire that cleanses you. That's the beautiful thing about cleansing, is that God cleanses you. You don't have to cleanse yourself so much, right? Amen. Woo! He baptizes you, cleanses you, buried with him in death, raised to walk in the newness of life, that we become that brand new creation in Christ Jesus, that transformation that comes, the total removing of the old. What's the purpose of removing the old? To reveal the new, right? It's like when the Lord brought them to the river and he said, take and circumcise all the males that had been born in the wilderness, saying there should be no remembrance of that which was old. This should be a brand new day for you. This, when the Lord comes, he brings a brand new day. And that's what he wants to do on the earth in this hour. He wants to send a fresh visitation of his spirit, a fresh day of Pentecost, a time, look in the book of Acts chapter 1, a time where there's been this a new anointing of the Lord that comes, because the days of restoration are upon us, but it only comes because of the anointing. You know, you look in we're going to look in the book of Acts chapter 1, but in the book of Joel, it talks about this day of restoration. We're going to read that in just a moment. It's quoted in Acts. But in verse 4 of chapter 1 of Acts, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Amen. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, to all the places of the earth, and to the end of the earth. Amen? Wow. The Lord is good. Then chapter 2, verse 1. Now when the day of Pentecost, fully come. They were all with one accord, one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were seated. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire. Thank the Lord that he sends the fire with the Spirit. Amen. I wouldn't want to receive his Spirit without the fire, because I don't want to bring forth a mixture. I don't want to get an anointing so that I can become and do my thing. I want to get an anointing so that I can do his will. And it comes when the fire, the cloven tongues of fire. Can you imagine? That all of a sudden, suddenly, there was a sound from heaven. I remember standing in the sanctuary several years ago, Darren. I forget how many years ago was, 10 or 11 maybe. We were standing and there was 700 people in here. Thursday or Friday night, and we were standing there, and all of a sudden, suddenly. Oof. Darren and me looked at each other. I said, "Did you see that?" He said, "Yeah." All of a sudden, from this side over here, boom, 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 boom. It's like a tornado came into this building. It was freaking me out. As it went by, everybody it's like changed right in front of my eyes. Wow. I looked at Darren, he looked at me. "Did you see that?" Okay. We saw, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. 1973, 45 years ago, Sunday night, I'm standing on the platform. All of a sudden, the back doors of the building opened and a cloud rolled in and filled up the whole back of the sanctuary, then began to roll to the front, just like rolling. Like the old pictures of when you see a sandstorm blowing in, all of a sudden it just begins to roll to the front. That means I'm done. Whether I like it or not, I'm through, right? And the rolling presence of God came to the front of the platform. Rolled, and I'm thinking, as everybody's falling down, see? And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm dying now. Because I didn't see people slain in the Spirit before. I thought they all got killed. And so I'm thinking, I'm the next one. So the glory of God came on the platform, and myself and the other brother and the other two other people, we didn't fall down. We just sat there. We like this. And it just swirled around us, the glory. Suddenly, the Lord came to the temple. See, there's a day of suddenlies that are about to happen. Because when God comes, he not only comes to empower and to equip and to anoint, but he comes to burn. But he's got to find a people that are willing to let that happen. Are we willing to let it happen to us? How many want the power? We all want the power, but do we want the fire? We can't have both. We can't have one without the other. Because I guarantee you, we don't want the power without the fire, because the power will destroy you. How many people, how many ministries I've seen in 47 years that have been destroyed because they have a gift from God without the fire? It's the fire, the foundation of who we become. Because one day, everything you acquire that doesn't have the fire accompanied with it will be the very instrument of the thing that will destroy you. It's only when it's the fire that it reveals the Christ. This one that comes, this messenger of the Lord, this one we delight in, this pure expression of God. And by the way, I put the timer on a little earlier than normal, so I'm not running over. Just in case, your information. I hope you guys are still watching from Portugal. We bless you. We miss you like crazy. We really do. Hallelujah. Woo! There can be no competition. When the Lord came, he said, there's no competition here with the old nature. Man, these people were prepared. They prepared themselves to receive him. They never were the same. They were ruined for life. They had to be prepared for the things they were going to go through, right? I mean, if we look back on the days of Peter and John, all the apostles and early church, I look at them with envy. I'm thinking, my Lord, they went out of this place and their very shadows were healing the sick. Man, 3,000 people got saved in one day. And they weren't being brought into a seeker-friendly church. They were being brought into everything. I said, man, if you join this thing, you'll probably die. Oh, yeah, here we want it. They weren't being brought into some easy believism. They were being brought in, let's sell everything and let's give it to the poor. Come on, let's just distribute all of the wealth to the needs of the saints. This is what they came into. They actually lost every position, every position they had in life. They lost all of their standing in society to follow the Lord. But they knew that they had to follow him, because once you know him, what else can you do but follow the Lord? We need that kind of heart today. We need a heart that says, we want to follow the Lord with everything within us. There's no condemnation to that, but the reason why it's difficult is because we need more of his presence. We need more of the anointing. It kind of greases the skids when you bring the glory. Woo! Man, if you try to take me into the kingdom without the glory, I'm going to be dragging my feet. You're going to be pulling me. And like, come on, let's get to the kingdom. No, but when the glory comes, shoop, right into the kingdom. The glory just shoop, right into the kingdom. When the glory of God comes, you want God. You don't care anymore about what it's going to cost you or what they're going to say about you. You just say, man, I got this. This is all that counts. So we talk a lot about, well, let's all get the glory and get the power and heal the sick and all. Yeah, let's do that, but let's get the fire with it, so that it really becomes something more than just us performing something. This becomes an outgrowth of who we've become. You struggling to get a gift? You struggling to get this? You don't have to struggle to get gifts or anything when you get the anointing. It just becomes who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get the glory. Let's cry out, Lord, send a fresh wave of Pentecost to the house of the Lord. Let's be a time that you pour out your spirit. Peter explained it in verse 14. He stood up with the 11, or it goes on to say, the tongues of fire in verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Kala la mosande ki moshe ki na la mosonda ki shi katakali moshe ki mato kusonte kala mosata ki shi. As the Spirit gives you utterance. Amen. But Peter, standing up with the 11, I know that's blasphemous to speak in tongues in modern America. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and you heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's the third day. You know, there's nothing like a holy dose of the fire to make you drunk as a skunk. Because when the fire comes and purges out that old nature, that old man, that old thinking, that old resistance, all that stuff's out of you, then all you are is just giddy. You're giddy with the glory. You're giddy with the presence of God. It's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. It shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and in signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming, the great and the notable day of the Lord. Everybody say, the notable day of the Lord. How many want to see the notable day of the Lord? Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, this man shall be saved. Hallelujah. Lord, let us see the notable day of the Lord. Let the church find the notable day of the Lord. Let this be a time when we see the notable day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is good. Well, well, well. Oh. Oh, Lord, we bless the Lord. Just hold your hands out before you this morning. Just pray with me. Say, Father, I want to experience a day of Pentecost in my life. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Lord, let me be filled with your fullness, with your presence. Let my life be changed, be transformed by the encounters that I'm going to have, not only today, but in the days to come. Let there be an ever increasing heart for you, seeking you, crying out for you, to know you and the power of your resurrection. Lord, let this come. Let this be a notable day in my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.